Okay, Rabosai, today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Samach. And we have a little bit of catching up to do, unfortunately, because I promised you a little bit of a hesber on the Shemesh B'Tkufata and what it's talking about when Abaya says this is Dafka, V'kol Esrim V'Shmona Shnin, when the Machzor begins again. What in the world is a Machzor? Who knows? We'll have to explain that. And Tkufas Nisan. Now remember, Nisan is actually the equinox, and that is, it has to fall out at the beginning of Shabtai, and Shabtai, which is Saturn, always comes out v'urta t'tlat nige arba on the evening of Tuesday, which is really the beginning of the night of Wednesday, the night before we start Wednesday. Okay, so now let's just go through this very briefly to understand what we're talking about. Again, as I mentioned to you yesterday, the Gemara is doing a very gross simplification of the astronomical data, knowingly, because obviously the Gemara itself speaks of the fact that Shmuel's Tkufa is not that accurate, but we're going to use it here because of the complexity. And note, by the way, that the original Braita, the Tana Rabbanan, Haro'eh Chama B'Tkufata, also included Livana B'Gvurata, V'Kochavim B'Mesilotam, Mazalot K'Sidram. Now, each one of those things, the Livana B'Gvurata, Kochavim B'Mesilotam, Mazalot K'Sidram, refers to a different astronomical phenomena, which we don't even bother saying today. And the reason we don't bother saying it is because we don't really have any connection to that. It isn't accurate. And even in its inaccuracy, it's extremely complex to figure out the math for figuring out what those things are. Because of that, it's gone completely into disuse, and we never say it. So the only one of these brachas that we do say is the Chama B'Tkufata. And I must tell you that according to the Yerushalmi, Chama B'Tkufata has nothing to do with the Tkufa, which is used over here, meaning the turning point, which is either the solstice or the equinox, which I'll explain to you in a moment what those turning points, so to speak, are. But rather, B'Tkufata comes from the word tokef, in its power. And what would that be referring to? It would be the same idea that we said before in the previous daf. We talked about the way that the sky gets very clear after a day of rain, and then the wind comes out in the morning. Here it's talking about basically the same thing. In the Yerushalmi, that there were 3 days of rain, and then everything looked so you could see the sun in its full power. It has absolutely nothing to do in the Yerushalmi with a tkufa that has the astronomy aspect in it, which, Daniel, are you in Serbia? Oh, okay, so we're really getting across the globe over here. Okay, so very nice. So the idea, therefore, here, according to our Gemara, and we paskin like that because when there's a machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi, we paskin like the Bavli. Here's what it's talking about. So remember, again, that this the way the Gemara talks is, of course, from a geocentric universe. But in reality, what we're talking about over here is the fact that the Earth is orbiting the sun. And remember that the Earth is at a 23.5-degree angle to the sun. So in other words, the poles of rotation, the rotational poles of the Earth, aren't straight vis-a-vis the sun. So at times, the rays of the sun are more tightly packed, and that is in the summertime for the northern hemisphere, where the Earth is tilted towards the sun. It has nothing to do with being slightly closer to the sun. That makes very little difference. It has to do with the fact that if you imagine the rays of the sun, that they would be going when you're tilted away, remember that you've got a much more spread out of the same amount of light is spread out over much further distance because of the tilt. If you tilt on the other hand towards it, then you're able to concentrate more energy in that smaller area. And because of that, it's hotter. And the opposite is in the southern hemisphere, obviously, to our friends down there who walk upside down and everything. So you can see poor Akiva. Look at that. Oh, my gosh. He's holding on for all he's worth. So the point is this, that from our perspective, the sun is moving across the equator 23 degrees to the north in the winter and summer, and then 23 degrees to the south in the winter, again, from the perspective of the northern hemisphere. When it hits directly at the equator, that is the celestial equator, which is the way that the sun is moving, is at the equator of the earth. So we call that the point in which now it starts moving north. When it gets all the way north, that's another point. So that's the Tikufa. Then it starts moving south. So the beginning of that moving south is called a point. That's the idea. So if our Kabbalah is that the Bria of the Shemesh was in Nisan, so it was Yom Revi'i of Tkufas Nisan, and that it began Tkufas Nisan at the very beginning of the Leil Revi'i, and that was the actual Bria of the sun. So therefore, at this time, it's at the point in which it's exactly at the similar time, which is the equal time, which is the equinox. And therefore, what we're talking about over here is a bracha that's only made when this happens. But the problem is that even though this happens, obviously there's a vernal equinox, a spring equinox every single year, it is not always at the same hour. The reason that it's not always at the same hour is because according to Shmuel, we divide the year into 365 and one quarter days, which means that every one of these sections, which are called tkufot, the four sections being from the movement from the equator, which is at the solstice, all the way up north, as far as it can go, 23 and a half degrees, which is the equinox to, which is the equinox, moving up to the solstice, then coming back, going back to the equator, going all the way back. Those are four seasons that we call the winter, and the order that we have over here is that we first call it the springtime, which is Chodesh Aviv, the Nisan, and then we get into the fall, and then we get into the winter, and so on. Each one of those then equals how much? Divide 365 and a quarter by four, and what do you get? Well, you get 91, but you also have to take care of that leftover remainder, which adds 7.5 hours to every one of the four things. If you multiply the 91, 7.5 by four, you get 365 days and a quarter. Now, what does that mean? It means that every year, if you multiply the 7.5 hours of the four seasons times four, you're moving ahead by 30 hours to the next equinox, right? To the next vernal equinox, to the next Tkufas Nisan. Because you've moved 30 hours, which is 4 times 7.5, that was the remainder. 30 hours equals 1 day and 6 hours, precisely. 24 hours and 6 hours, right? What that means is that every time you get to the next Tkufas Nisan, you are precisely 6 hours ahead in the day than you were the last time. So if Tkufas Nisan was 6 o'clock in the evening, remember that's how we measure time, which is the beginning of the evening to us. 6 o'clock is the beginning of the next day. Then that means the next time you get to Tkufas Nisan, the Tkufa will be at exactly midnight, 12 o'clock. Again, that's not really midnight, hour 12 o'clock. Not what they call midnight, but the real midnight in terms of Shaot Zmaniot and so on. The next one will be 6 o'clock in the morning. The next one will be 6 o'clock in the evening. The fifth one will be, another after the four, the fifth one will be back where it was, 6 o'clock in the evening. The problem is that it won't be the same day. The reason it won't be the same day is because the 30 hours, it's true, if you're talking about just the remainder of the 6 hours, you could always look at the clock and say it's always going to be at 6, at 12, at 6 a.m. and 12 noon, and then 6 o'clock again. After it comes around after four times, the fifth time will be back at the same hour. That's called the Machzor HaKatan. So it's a very simple cycle where when you round things off, it gets back to the same hour. However, it has moved ahead in the course of the year by 5 days. Because remember, we're multiplying the extra day. It was 91 and 7.5. So we multiply. That means every time we move ahead also by the days. And that is a problem because we're talking about it has to come out, we said over here, at the same day. Because you said that it has to be at the point that it was created. But the point that it was created gave us also Yom Revi'i at the beginning. In order to get back to the correct number of days, it's going to take 28 years because you go around and around until you get all the way back to the first day. The siman for that, there is a siman for that. And that is that every one of the cycles moves ahead by one in a siman which is called Dabaz Hag'u. Dabaz, each one standing for the number of the day. So Dalet is Yom Revi'i, which was the beginning of the Tkufa. Then you get to Monday. Remember, each time it's going to be 5 days later. Then you get to Shabbos, which is Zion. At 5 days, you get to Thursday, which is Hay. At 5 days to Thursday, you get to Tuesday, which is Gimel. At 5 days to Tuesday, you get to Aleph, to Yom Rishon. At 5 days to Yom Rishon, you get to Friday. In order for you to get back at the beginning, all the way back to Dalet, and it should come out also at 6 o'clock on Dalet, you're going to have to go through this seven times, which means after 28 years, which is the beginning of the eighth of these Machzorim, then you will get, that's the Machzor Gadol, where the sun comes all the way around, again, in this very simplified vision, to where it was. What in the heck does that have to do with Saturn, which we, Abaye insisted that it would be Noflat Kufat Nisan B'Shaptai? So as I showed you in the little PDF that I sent you, which I hope you got a chance to look at, because of the fact that there were, at the time, seven things that wandered around the sky. Now, obviously, those are not all planets because they couldn't see all the planets. There were only five that are visible to the naked eye planets. So you have Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, plus you have the moon and the sun. And that, we split the sun up into the year, the day up into the mastery of these wandering things that are sort of like planets. They're mostly planets. You couldn't see Uranus or Neptune or anything else, obviously. And so because of that, you've got another cycle in which at the beginning of every Wednesday, if you go through the hours of the day and you start with that order, then you end up with the beginning. Take a look in the little chart I give you. The beginning of Wednesday is at Saturn time. Okay? So that would be, you'd have to find the Tkufas Nisan that would fall out in the hour of Saturn. That would be the point. And what is the meaning of that it should be together with the not only the mazolites, it has to be the correct order of the mazolites. So again, as I explained to you yesterday, there's another thing that has to match up here. And the other thing that has to match up is that since we are moving relative to the sun, and the sun relative to the stars in the background is basically standing still, so what happens is that we can see where we are in the galaxy by looking through the sun and seeing what constellations are behind it. Now, obviously, we can't literally look through the sun because what the sun is in the sky and we're facing it from the surface of our planet, then we don't see stars. However, as the Earth is turning towards the sun and it's a little bit before sunrise, you can see the stars that are above you, and you know that in a little bit of time, you know exactly where you're going to be moving to see the next stars, even though you won't see them because they're blanked out by the sun, right? Each time that we move around, the heavens move around by approximately 1 degree. It took 365 days to complete a 360-degree circle. So we can approximate 1 degree per day, which means 30 degrees per month. So that means that a slice of 30 degrees of the sky of our circle, to about 10%, is going to be visible. It's really 12. So we get 12 of them in the sky, and we get those 12, therefore, imaginary patterns, which, you know, to a beautiful mind, look like a shore and a tle and a ta'omim, and a beautiful girl, whatever it is that your mind happens to focus on, that's what it is that you could see up there. And these became the zodiac or the mazolas. Now the sun, when we are in the spot at which there's Tkufat Nisan, again, if you simplify the movements, plus you have to take into consideration what is known as the precession of the equinoxes, which is another movement in which the Earth is not only turning around and is not around its own rotational poles, and it's not only turning around the sun so that its position vis-a-vis the rest of the stars changes, it is also wobbling. So that wobble, the wobble you'll see if you simply take a dreidel and you turn the dreidel doesn't only turn, but it also very often moves like that while it's turning. There's a wobble. That wobble on the Earth causes a change in the perception of where the equinox is, where the zodiac is. And that causes a precession of the equinoxes, which is another movement, which is why when we talk about these tkufos, they aren't even true because they're no longer in the same place anyway, not to mention the fact that they were never exact because we only split it up at the 30 degrees and that itself wasn't exact. So because of this, this whole thing is totally out of whack. And therefore, as the Chazon Ish pointed out, and I spoke to you yesterday, it's meant for you to be able to use your approximate brains to make an approximate relationship to the galaxy as a whole and to get in touch, therefore, with Bria Sa'ilam in terms of my separations, and that's its point. We're going to continue today with more brachas, where this is very nogea lahalacha, where Chazal were koveya brachos that may have nothing to do with your personal reality. So, for instance, if somebody is chas v'shalom blind, does he make a bracha on the fact that he can see? Will he say the Yotzer Ma'orot? Is he going to say the Poteach Ivrim? I mean, he's blind. If somebody doesn't have feet, is he going to make a bracha on being able to stand up in the morning and the Zokef Kefufim? And the fact is that the Psak Halacha, at least for the Ramah and everybody, even the Svarim Noach here like the Ramah, is that yes, in fact, you do not have to personally experience these things because brachas are sometimes mitukan on the reality in the world. And therefore, these brachot that we're getting to now have to do with ways for us to connect to the world. It's the ultimate expression of emunah, in which personal emunah is seen as sort of a vast species-wide consciousness that spans our history. And therefore, the brachas that are based on these emunahs are ways of connectedness and ways in which we can generate in our own mind, in our own energies, brachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the depths of our experiences, even though we know that those experiences are very, very limited by our meat brains. It's very important that humanity be aware of that, even from the very beginning. And because of that, Chazal were koveya it in this way. Now, that itself is an important thing, because otherwise people start to confuse their experiences with some type of external reality and get into tremendous trouble and believe that there is cause and effect and that they can control things. And this really stands at the bottom of all minus. This is why ultimately the scientific revolution caused so many problems for religious people, whereas on the contrary, it was the biggest giluyim imaginable of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rotzen and so on, and it was tragic. But all this because of the mistaken understanding of the nature of the Amunah in Masechet Brachos and the nature of Brachos. Okay, so now this brings us down. I think we were at right at the bottom of Nun Tet Amud Beit, and we had gotten up to the fact that the Gemara says that the only time that you said Baruch HaTova HaMitiv is where there's somebody else that's involved in that Hatava with you. But if there's nobody involved in the Hatava, then you would say Shehechiyonu and only Shehechiyonu. So this is what we had asserted. And the Gemara asks now on the second of the big lines, is that really true? If nobody else is involved, Vatanya, if they tell somebody your wife had a boy, so he says Baruch HaTova Meitiv. Well, I mean, you know, he does have a wife. I mean, it's not, his wife had something to do with the birth, no? So Hakanami Deika Ishtoba De. The Nechala Bezacher, she also likes to have a boy, even though she shouldn't, but she does. Toshma, Meit Aviv, Vuhu Yorsho. So let's say someone's father died, and he is in line to inherit $1 million. First he says Baruch Dayan Emet at the death, and then he says Baruch HaTova Amitiv at the inheritance. So why does he say Baruch HaTova Amitiv? Who else is sharing it? No, it's talking about that there are brothers that are sharing it. Okay. How about this? Shinu yayin ein tzarich levarech. Shinu makom tzarich levarech. If you bring a different wine to the table, you do not have to make a new borei pri hagefen. But if you change your locale, you do have to make a new borei pri hagefen. The Omer of Yosef Barava, Omer of Yochanan, af al pi shamru shinu yayin ein tzarich levarech. Even though if they bring a new wine, there's no new bracha. But there's a different bracha. There's Baruch Atova Meitiv. Now, why are you saying Baruch Atova Meitiv if nobody else but you is enjoying it? I thought you said you only say Atova Meitiv if there's other people. Maybe it's talking about over there, the Ika B'nei Chabura, the Shatu Badei, and that's the halacha indeed. We only make that bracha if there are other people there that are drinking with you. Now, there's tremendous machlokas in the Rishonim over here, whether it's just the fact of the difference in the wine that is Atova Meitiv, or it's only where there's a grand improvement in the wine, which is Atova Ametiv, or whether it at least is a different kind of wine, with a totally different kind of taste, like a new wine versus an old wine, which according to some Rishonim, that noticeable change would be Mechayev Atova Ametiv. There's also a question as to whether the original bracha of the Yayin, if it was your das to continue drinking, would have covered all of the wine that is available to you at that time. So if it was in the house with you, according to that, you wouldn't make a tova ametiv when it's brought to the table, because the original birchas hayayin would apply to everything. And so halacha l'maaseh, there's big differences here between the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim. The Ramah's psak is to use the Atova Ametiv only when it was not, at least the way the Mishnah Berurah understands it, only when it was not with you in the house at the time, and only when it's clearly a better wine than the other wine, and of course, as the Gemara just said, only when there are other people with you who are enjoying the drink, which means that social drinking is the essential takana of Atova Ametiv, according to Chazal. Okay, continue on. By the way, Shinui Makom Tzarech Levarach is also tremendous machlokas in the Rishonim, what Shinui Makom is and what it refers to. Is there a din of Shinui Makom on bread? Remember the whole circuit that we had in Pesachim about running out and seeing to see people or to greet a Talmud Chacham or going out to Tefillah. And the question is, did you leave someone behind? What's that din of leaving someone behind? Now, we end up paskening, again, when I say we, the Ashkenazim, end up paskening like the Ramah, who paskens that din is not true lahalacha, because it was referring over there to Dvarim that require a bracha b'mekomam, which might even be, there's a three-way machlokas about that. Is that referring to bread only? Is it referring to any type of mizonas? Is it referring to anything that requires a me'ein shalosh afterwards? But in any event, if the way we paskin is that if something requires a bracha b'mekomam, then a shinui mokom is not considered to be a hefsek, and you can go continue eating in the new place where you moved to, even though l'chatchila you're not meant to do that, unless your das was l'chatchila to do that, or that's the standard way in which you're doing it. If a haraya, you're eating, in many cases of the Gemara, where people were eating a seuda as they were walking, and then they just stopped for birkas hamazon, and you just say your birkas hamazon in the last place where you ate. According to some, that would be true, even if you're eating something such as fruits of the shivas haminim. According to others, maybe dafka fitz mizaynas. Okay, we're machmer lemaisa to try to do that only if it's pot, but that would mean that there's also a shita that holds that this din of leaving somebody behind would even be good for things like eating chocolate. That if you walked out, you could then come back in and continue eating the chocolate without a bracha. That already is a pretty far out shita, which we don't paskin like normally. Most people don't paskin, I should say, as a formal psak. In any event, that's just a side mention over here, but it should put you on notice about eating in a different place. Of course, if you could still see the place where you ate from and it's within that same house, it's considered by almost all the poskim to be the same place. Okay, we move on then to the next one. Bona bayit chadash v'kona kelim chadashim. Omer avuna lo shana lo shen lo kayotze behem. Avo yesh lo kayotze behem ein tzarech levorech. If you already have the same thing in your rishus, because let's say you inherited it, then you wouldn't make a bracha at buying it, buying a similar one. Rabbi Yochanan says not true, because buying something for yourself is a new experience, and having it is therefore a new shechiyano, an affiliation of kayotzbam tzorech levarech, which would mean that if you had already bought one and then you go back to buy another one, for sure you would not have to be mevarech, according to this lashon. And there's another lashon in which the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan is not that. Rav Huna, according to the second lashon, he's the one who says that this is only if you didn't already buy it. But if you had once bought it, and now you're buying another one, you don't make a bracha. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, even if you had bought it and now you bought another one, you would have to make a bracha, which means that if, according to this lashon, if you had it, let's say Beirusha, and you bought it, everybody would be meida that you would make a bracha. So therefore, we have a problem with these second lashon here, mitzvah. It says in the Braita, Bana Bayit Chadash ve'en lo kayotzi bo, kana kelim chadashim ve'en lo kayotzi behem, tzorech levarech. But if you already had these things, then ain't tzorech levarech, diva Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yudomer, doesn't matter whether you had it, you didn't have it, benkach u benkach tzorech levarech. But that's mashma, that dafka, if you had it, but not if you had already bought it. So bishlam alish dakama. So going the first way we understood the machlokes of Ravuna and Rabbi Yochanan, Ravuna is simply going like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan works out perfectly according to Rabbi Yehuda. But according to the second lashon, where Rabbi Yochanan held that even if you were kana v'chosef kana, who would Rabbi Yochanan be going like? I mean, bishlam Ravuna works out fine like Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yochanan is not going to anybody because nobody said that if you were kana v'chosef kana, Rabbi Yehuda just said if you had it. Amar lecha Rabbi Yochanan, no. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even if you were kona v'chosef kona, you would have to be mevarech. The only reason that we made the machlokas in the case of where he had it, as opposed to if he had bought it, is to tell me how powerful Rabbi Meir's shita is. That according to Rabbi Meir, afilu kona v'yeshlo, ein tzarech levarech, kol sheken kona v'chosef kona. So in other words, even the hischachus of buying it for yourself, according to Rabbi Meir, is insufficient to be b'chayev yon ha-shechayonu. Kol shekein, in the case where you'd already bought it yourself and go back to for sure ain't tzorech levarech. I understand, but why would we want to know Rabbi Meir? Why can't we have the machlokas the other way? Let's talk about the machlokas of Rekonav Chosav Akana to teach me that Rabbi Yehuda is tining even their tzorech levarech. Ah, that's because koach dehetera adif. We'd rather hear that you don't have to be mevarech, which is Rabbi Meir. Now, this, of course, is very problematic because over here we get into the question of Safik Brochus L'Hakel, and therefore to say that that's considered to be the bigger Chiddush, on the contrary, it's a bigger Chiddush to be B'chayiv a Brocha. Normally, when we say Korach Datera Odif, it's because, as Rashi says, any idiot can say something is Usser. You need to know what you're saying in order to say something is Mutter. But in this case, it's the opposite. If Safik Brochus L'Hakel, then you need to know what you're talking about in order to paskin that you do need a Brocha. Based on this whole Sugya, there is a very strong shita that learns among the achronim, a number of different achronim, that learns that be'etzem you would be allowed to say a shechayonu on anything that you feel excited about. So the only question over here is not whether you can make a shechayonu. Of course you can make a shechayonu. So we don't have that issue of suffolk brachas lahakel. Therefore, the question is only who's going to be mechayev you to make a bracha. So for that, it's a kula not to be mechayev you to make a bracha because it wasn't coming mitam ha-safek. Got it? Beautiful. Next. Mevarech al ra'ah. Says the Mishnah, a person has to have the same bracha in chas v'chalila, something terrible happening as something wonderful happening. No, sorry. I didn't get there yet. I'm sorry. I skipped. And the next thing in the Mishnah was mevarech al ra'ah, even though it is in atova and vice versa. So what do we mean? When something bad, which ultimately becomes good, you still make a Diana Emes. What's that? Well, for instance, supposing there was a massive flooding that destroyed your entire crop and silted up your field. Now, the silting up of the field is going to be good news next year because you're going to have more topsoil and it's going to be richer. But currently, you lost your crop. So therefore, you say, Baruch Dayan HaEmet. So afagav the tava yili today. In the end, it's going to be good because maska aris yirton. You've got sediments and shivacha makes it better. Hashtami arahi. Right now, you lost your crop and you say Diana Emmet. Ala tova, which is ultimately going to possibly turn into something bad. What would that be? Well, for instance, suppose the guy wins the lottery, right? So now he's trying to keep it quiet because as soon as people know that he won the lottery, he's dead, especially when the tax authorities find out, right? So then he's worse off than he was before. Now they're going to tear him apart. They're going to look over all of his accounts and probably leave him off worse than he was. So even though right now he won the lottery and somebody else knows about it, the Ishama Bamalka, if the government finds out, they're going to not only take it, but they're going to open up his books. But at this moment, you know, there's always time for bad things to happen. As we say, Daya Litzarabish Ata. The tzores, wait until they happen. Don't count your tzores before they're hatched. But if you have right now something good, make the bracha on the good, and therefore you still say the atov va'amitiv. Then we get into this other issue. A person should not say a tefillah shav. What's a tefillah shav? Well, suppose your wife is pregnant and you start praying that the baby should be a boy. That's a tefillah shav. Is that true? Lomani Rachame asks Rav Yosef, the famous case directly out of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. It says, V'achar yalda bat v'tikrat shema Dina. So afterwards, Leah had a daughter and her name was Dina. What do you mean afterwards? Amarav, it means after Leah ended up figuring out herself that it would be horrible if she had a boy. Because she said like this, look, we know that there's going to be 12 Shvat. There were already 6 Shvatim that I have. 4 were born from the Shvachot. That's 10. If this child that I am pregnant with currently is male, then that means there's not going to be another boy left for my sister Rachel, and she's going to only have one child. She's going to be less even than the Shvachot. The moment that Leah did that analysis in her mind, the child turned into a girl. That's why it says, Achar. That's why it says, Vatikra Shema Dina. She was the result of this din that Leah had been done. In my skin, Maaseh Nisim. First of all, I mean, this whole thing, it could be a miracle. I mean, so we're talking about the tefillah. You don't daven for miracles. Or you know what it could be? Maybe this whole thing took place during the first 40 days of gestation. And during the first 40 days, the difference between male and female has not yet taken place. Kidatanya, Shloshi, Yamim Arishonim, the first 3 days after intercourse. Yivakesh Adam Rachamim, Shelo Yasriach. The sperm should not get wrecked before it actually has a chance to penetrate an ovum. Mishloshi Vad Arbaim, Yivakesh Rachamim, She Zakar. You've got from day 3 to day 40 that you can daven that you should have a male. From 40 days to the end of the first 3 months, Yivakesh Rachamim, Shelo Yasadal, that there shouldn't be an additional pregnancy that will destroy the first child by pressing up against it, that we had the sandal. Remember, Nida, that the vlad gets crushed. From the 3rd month through the 6th month, you should be mevakesh rachamim, that you can hold the pregnancy and it shouldn't abort. From the 6th month to the 9th month, you should be mevakesh rachamim, that the birth should be okay. But wait a minute, how would rachamim help during even the first 40 days? Didn't Reb Yitzchak Breyer Ravami say that the determination of sex is actually at the moment of ejaculation? Ish mazriat tchila yoledet zachar, yoledet nekeva, isha mazriat tchila yoledet zachar, shenemar isha ki tazriya v'yalda zachar. Okay, so as we said before, nida very often, ach ma'iskin gosh yizriya shneim bevatachat. Okay. Hayab baba derech, a guy is coming on the road, and he hears an ambulance coming in town, and he says to tefillah, oh my God, may it be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will that that ambulance is not on the way to my house. But that's a tefillah shav. Whoever called the ambulance already called it. So, Tana Rabbanan, Maaseh b'Hillel HaZaken Shaya Baba Derech, once this actually happened to Hillel, and they were coming into town, and he hears this ambulance, and he says, well, I'm 100% sure that this is not in my house. V'Alav HaKatuv Omer Mishmua Ra'a Lo Yira Nochol Nibo Batuach B'Hashem. So he was at such a madrega that he knew that the clarity of his own dependence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shmira was that he didn't have to worry about it. Oh, my Rava, you know, the Pasuk has 2 different meanings. And no matter how you read that Pasuk, it's still going to be the same ultimate understanding of the relationship of the fear of something bad happening to the way that you respond. If you read it front to back or back to front, it's still going to give you indications. So, Mireisha l'Seifa Midrash, Miseifa l'Reisha Midrash. Mireisha l'Seifa Midrash like this. Mishmua ra'a lo yira. You have nothing to fear from Mishmua ra'a. Why? Nochon libo batuach b'Hashem. Or you could read it, Miseifa l'Reisha Midrash. Nochon libo batuach b'Hashem. And therefore, Mishmua ra'a lo yira. Now, the Mefarshim point out that there's a difference, actually, in terms of whether that means that because of your bitochen, you don't have to fear the Shmua Ra'ah because you will not be affected by it one way or the other. It's the to you always, Koma David Rachmana is the Tava of it. And even if Chas V'Sholem it is in your house, you don't fear it. There's nothing to fear because you're Mekabel Yisurim B'Ahava. But the other way would be that because of the tremendous Madrega that you have of Nechon Libo B'Tuach HaShem, there will be no Shmua Ra'ah. And therefore there is nothing to fear, which is what Hillel is saying. I'm sure it isn't in my house. He didn't say, I'm not afraid that it's in my house. Okay. There was a Talmud that was walking behind Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi in the middle of the Shuk in Sion. And his Rebbe sees that he's very tense, very stressed out at being in that public place. So he said to him, "You must be a chote, because it says pochadu b'tzion chataim." Omar Leh says, the Talmud said, but it says Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. Omar Leh Hu b'divrei Torah Aktiv. That means a person should always be doeg. Maybe he's going to forget his learning, or maybe he's going to be over an avera. Anything that has to do with Torah, there, yes. But to be afraid because you're in a public space, you're going to be attacked or whatever, that's pachadu b'tzion chata'im. And that's, so there's two ways of understanding that. Either chata'at, this is the same achlokas that we have by soldiers going out to the army. In other words, what is it that is a yorei varach alevav? So according to one man, diyomer, yorei varach alevav is that he's afraid of averas that he's done, and therefore he's afraid of bad things happening to him. So maybe that's what Rabbi Shmuel was saying. So you must be terrified of averus that you've done, and because of that, you fear. Or the other way of understanding it is the very fact that you should be stressed out and not have bitochen b'Hashem and doing a normal human activity, that itself is a chet. So there's two different ways, which is expressed also in the din of the soldier that is chozer. We had another maysa like this, in which a Yehuda bar Nosan was walking behind Rav Avnuna, and he moaned. So Rav Amnuna said, "I see that this guy wants to kill himself, apparently. It says, ki pachad pachadati, I was terrified, and the very thing that I was terrified of, says Yivov, asher yagar to yavoli, that which I was frightened of, that's what happened to me." So if you want to bring Yisurin on yourself, you can sit there and worry about life, and then you'll find out that the very things that you're worried about, wow, voila, exactly what happens to you. How do you like that? So he told him, but doesn't it say that Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid? And again, Rav Amnuna said the same idea. Not as a way to respond to the world. Now, next thing we had in the Mishnah is this special din. According to Ben Azai, you're supposed to say four tefillas. One on your way in, one when you get in, one on your way out, and one when you get out. Okay, so now we have a braita that describes Ben Azai's four tefillas. B'kdisato ma'omer. So on the way in, you say, Yiratzen, that I should get into this city in safety. You get out, you say, Moda ani lefanecha, that you got me in okay, and I got through meches. You want to go out, same tefillah, Yiratzen Hashem, that you should let me get out of here without any problems. You got out of the city, then you say, Moda ani lefanecha, that you got me out of here without problems, and then you add, the same way, Kishem shotzeteni l'shalom. Then you say the rest of the tefillah saderach. Kach tolichenu l'shalom, sabchenu l'shalom, tatzidenu l'shalom, tatzilenu mikaf kol oyev orev baderach, and so on and so forth, which is similar to the tefillah saderach that we spoke about early. And there's a lot of discussion about what appears to be the contradiction. Because before the tefillah saderach, we said only when you're well on your way. Then you say this tefillah saderach, and it has nothing to do with the other tefillah of getting out of town safely. Whereas here it says, the moment you get out of town, you say this bracha, and it goes on into tefillah saderach. So the mefarshim are mechalek, that one is talking about when you are not in a position that you need to be mevarach, you're leaving your own home. So over there, you don't start feeling the stress until you're well on the way, and that's when you say the tefillah saderach. Masha Inkein, here we're talking about, remember a case where you entered the city, the first place was a problem. Now you're leaving the city, so you're being made on the fact that you got through this, going through, okay. And therefore, at this point, you're already stressed out and you're well aware of the dangers that are aimed at fanecha. So then you say the same tefillah saderach as a continuation of that tefillah. Omer of Nasna. The only time that we say all of this, I mean, it seems like a little bit overdone, don't you think? But we're talking about over here are the Wild West cities. In the Wild West cities, you know, you can be accused of something. You don't get a judge and a jury. It's all kangaroo courts. So there's no din, and they just can kill a guy, you know. They just go out, and vigilantes can kill you. But if you have a relatively civilized city, you don't have to worry about that. I mean, to go make this, I should be able to get into town in one piece and get out of town in one piece. I mean, you know, normally in civilized countries, that's pretty normal. Some say that Rav Matzah said, no, it's not true. Even if it's a town where they may have a court system and so on, that has nothing to do with anything, because maybe you'll be accused of something by somebody, and you won't be able to find someone to speak up in your favor in enough time for them to come and to kill you, you know, or throw you away for life. God only knows. Tana Rabbanan. Hanichnas lebet hamerchatz. Now these are tefillas that Chazal were metaken for the need for you to be aware of upcoming danger. Note that that was the beginning of the sugya. The understanding that you are in a matzav of sakana. And that's why we had that for the first two stories. Do you have a right to feel sakana as part of your normal life? Or is that considered to be a breakdown in your relationship to emuna? So first we established that normal life is a breakdown to feel, other than in the things that you need to be aware of, the terror, which is Asher L'Vachet Tamid, in terms of mistaking your approach to life and mistaking your learning and mistaking your midas and the possibility of losing your learning and so on. They're for sure M'Vachet Tamid. But not to have the type of bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you'll be able to get through the day, that you don't have to worry about. But you do have to be aware of any sakana that is there in order to have the right to be boteach. That's a beautiful story. They have the Brisker Rav during the war of independence here in Israel. He once had to go speak to the Chazon Ish about the whole question of Chinuch Atzmai. Remember, Brisk was very against Chinuch Atzmai, and the Chazon Ish had come out on the Tzad to have Chinuch Atzmai, and he felt that it was a disaster, and he was willing to risk his life to go speak, to go drive to Tel Aviv. Now, in those days, there was definitely a sakana that was involved, because sometimes you would get picked off by Arab snipers on your way to Tel Aviv. Anyway, so the Brisker Rav, every few minutes, he would say to the Talmidim that were in the car, "What's that? What's that moving up there on the hill?" And so then, so finally, the Talmidim felt like, "Rebbe, you know, a little bit of bitachon." So the Brisker Rav said, "You can only have bitachon when you're fully aware of the sakana. If you're not aware of the sakana, you're just a fool. You're not a boteach b'Hashem." So Adarav, and these are what these brachas are. These brachas are for you to be aware of dangers, even though it seems like, I mean, it's not really dangerous, is it? So one of the things that's dangerous in those days was going to a public bath. Now, the reason that that was dangerous was because in those days, the baths were built over the heating device, the fire that would keep them warm. And if the floor cracked, everybody would go down together with the water directly into the fire. Not many people would survive that. So because of that, in order to be aware, they were koveya that if you're going into a Beit HaMerchatz, you say a tefillah. You're a tovim v'nachashem l'kasha t'tzileni b'zev k'yotzeba b'zev. Please save me from what might happen over here and from this type of thing. V'ayera b'dvar kalkalava avon. Nothing because of my avonos destroy me. And if something will happen, then let my death be a kapora for everything bad that I did, says Abai. No, never say that. You don't want to open up your mouth. L'liftach piv l'satan. And actually, Omer Shlokish V'chetonim Yishmei, the Reb Yosef, remember we had this before. Le'olam ayiftach adam piv la'satan. And Reb Yosef pointed out that it's a pasuk, because we find that we say that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't left us kimat, a little bit, then kistoma yinu la'mora dimino. And what's the next words? Kistoma yinu la'mora dimino in Yeshayahu? Shimu d'var Hashem ketzinei Sodom. You call yourself like Sodom? Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also sees you like Sodom. Anyway, when you get out of the bath, what do you say? And it was actually a Maisur, Rabbi Avu. He went into a bath, and the floor collapsed. And it happened that he was standing directly on one of the pillars that had supported the floor, which did not collapse. So everybody else falls into the water and goes down into the flames, and he does not. He's standing on this amud. So what does he do? He grabs the guy next to him. That guy grabs another guy, and he ends up saving 101 people using one hand. And this is all a miracle. So shazi me'avachad gavri b'chad avri. So then Rabbi Abu said, now I understand that tefillah that Rav Acha was talking about. And that I would have been fully aware in the beginning. It would have been even better. Furthermore, anichmas lahakis dam. Somebody goes out to have a bloodletting or a medical procedure, actually, of any kind, we paskin that. That yehira tzom levanachashem lakashi eisig zeli lerifu avatir pa'eni. You should be the one who heals me, and the eisig that I'm doing should be a good thing for refuah. Ke'el rofei ne'eman atah refuatcha emet. It's only you, O Lord, who are the real doctor. Because the truth is, human beings were not created to need doctors. L'fish ein darkan shel b'nei adam l'rapot ela she'nahagu. This became the way, because of our madrega, that we have to be noig to always go to doctors. Rabbi, that's ridiculous. You should never say something like, what do you mean it's a minik to go to a doctor? It's a chiyuv to go to the doctor. Tanin ve'Rabbi Shmuel, v'rapo yirape, Mikan shenitna reshut l'rapot, l'rofe l'rapot. You're supposed to be able to get medical attention. So if the Torah didn't want you to get medical attention, so why did it say rapo yirape? Kikoi mai omar, after you get up and get out of the hospital, and you get well, omar avacha borach rofe chinam, and we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the refuah. Hanichnas lebeit hakisei, you're going into a bathroom. In those days, people were on a madrega that they could still speak to Malachav Yitzavalach Lishmorcha Bechol Drachecha, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides Malachim to take care of every person. So in order not to be Mavaza, the Malachim, that they should come into the bathroom with him, so you should tell them, Hitkabdu Mechubadim Kedoshim Mishortei Elyon. Listen, you should be Mechabed yourselves, Tnu Kavod Elokei Yisrael. After all, you are representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You stay out of the bathroom. Harpu mimeni, get away from me. Ad shekanes v'aseretzoni, until I go in and get my things done, and then I'll come back to you. Says Abaye, no, do not say that. What do you mean, harpu mimeni? What if they listen to you and never come back, you know? So what you should say, the correct gerusa is, you should say, stay here and watch the door for me. Shimruni, shimruni, izruni, izruni, simchuni, simchuni, amtinuli, amtinuli, wait for me, don't leave me. We do not say this because since you need to be on an appropriate madrega to have the schus of kimalachav yitzavalach, a person who says this looks like a balgaiva. So we're chashin and leyura that he's talking to the malachim with him when everybody else thinks he's an idiot. Anyway, kinofik, when you get out of the bathroom, what do you say? Baruch Hashem yatzar adam bechokhma v'rabon nekavim nekavim chalulim chalulim galui v'yadu alav nenki seik v'dech shemipatei echad miyem on yisateim echad miyem yiv shalamod lefanecha. And what's the closing of this long bracha? Amarav rofei cholim. My God. Abba has turned the whole world into sick people? I thought if he's sick, I mean, what's he making a bracha? He's sick? Ella, what you should say is rofei kol basar, because rofei doesn't mean to cure necessarily somebody who's ill. It means to strengthen with refuah so that a person shouldn't get sick. Rav Sheshe said you should say maflila sot, incredible, incredible to watch the workings of the human body. Rav Papa, and remember we've seen this throughout the Masechet, we see it throughout Shas, Rav Papa has two mouths, papa, pe, pe. And so Rav Papa always says, say both. And that, of course, is what it is that we do. Somebody is going to go to sleep at night. So first you say the first parsha of Shema from Shema Yisrael until Vahaya Im Shamoa. And then you say a bracha called Birkat HaMapil. The Baruch HaMapil Chevleshina Aleinai. Utnumal afapai, umeir li ishon bataein, hiratzoma vanach Hashem lokai shetashkiveni l'shalom, v'ten chalki b'toratecha v'targileni l'day mitzvah. Now the truth is that the it's clear from the Torah this is not the gears of the Gemara, and this was added later in the Tkufas HaGa'eni. If you take a look at the Rambam, the bracha is immediately after those first opening words. He moves on to Va'al Yevaluni Chalamot Ra'im V'Hirurim Ra'im V'Temid Dati Shleim Alefanecha V'Tayari Nai Penishan Amavet, with slight changes. Baruch Ata Hashem Ameir Li'Olam Kolo B'Chvodo, which is also slightly different than the Rambam's Girsa. But this whole middle part, the Targileni L'Dei Mitzvah V'Al Targileni L'Dei Avira V'Al Tevieni L'Dei Chet V'Lo Dei Avon V'Lo Nisayon V'Lo Dei Vizayon V'Yishlot B'Yetzer Hara Yetzer Tova Yishlot B'Yetzer Hara. All of that was an addition from the time of the Gaonim. Ki mitar, and when you wake up, what do you say? Elohai, nishamar shenatata b'torah, ata yitzarta v'ata nefachta v'ata titla mimeni, lachzira bilati davokos man shenashama b'kirbi modani lefanecha shem lakai v'lakai v'tai, ribon kol olamim, adon kol haneshamot ruchata Hashem, hamachazir nishamot levigarim etim. Now, all of those things, including even the Asher Yatzar, again, you'd say, but Asher Yatzar is on you personally using the bathroom. No, not in the morning. Because according to many Shitas, you would say Asher Yatzar as part of the Yetzira, in the same way that you would say Asher Natan Sechvi Vina, even though you never heard a tarnagol that it was crowing. As most people in the city no longer hear tarnagoling. Nonetheless, they still make this bracha. This, by the way, again, that was part of that machlokas, the Rama and the Beis Yosef, in which the minig has become to do according to the Rama, that it doesn't make any difference. These are brachas that are made on the human condition. Because of that, they are made, even if a person doesn't go to the bathroom, he would still say Asher Yatzar in the morning. Obviously, to be, you know, get out of any kind of suffix, so then, you know, people are noyak to wait. But the truth is that, this also became, because of the Eliyahu Rabba, this also became a problem on Shavuos night where people stay up. So because of the fact that the Chayshish, that all of these things are only said if you're going to wake up and you'll have all these brachas, which we're about to have, only then do you say them. So they like to hear it from somebody else. However, again, according to the Rama, it should make absolutely no difference. You can make all of those brachas, whether you're up all night, you weren't up all night, none of it should make any difference. And then we have the list of all of those 15 brachas, which really has become 16 brachas because of the fact that we have this new bracha of Hanoten La'yaev Koach, which nobody knows exactly where it came from. And many people shout about it and how, where did that bracha come from? Whoever heard of that? The Gemara doesn't list it. And the Ashkenazim for sure say it. There were other Menachem that didn't say it. And it appears to have been one of those amazing kind of things. Some claim that there were Gersos, early Gersos in the Gemara that did have it. But others say that it was an understanding of Klal Yisrael that came to a point in which it was so difficult to get through just a day of a typical Jewish living in the middle of pogroms or everything that they were going through, that ultimately there was a sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving you the ability to face a new day. And that's Hanoten La'yaev Koach. We're so tired of waking up in the morning. So Kishama Kol Tarnagola, you say, Baruch Shanatana Sech Vivina Lavkin Yom Evein Laila. When you open up your eyes and you see, you say, Apokeach Ivrim. When you sit up in bed, you say, Matir Asurim. Because up until now in sleep, your brain had shut down your ability to move. When you get dressed, you say, Baruch Malbish Arumim. When you stand up, you should say, Zokef Kefufim. When you put your feet down on the floor, you say, Baruch Rokah Horetz Al Hamayim. When you start walking, you say, Baruch HaMechim Mitzadei Gover. When you put on your shoes, you should say, Baruch Shasali Kol Tzarki. This again is a question. What if you don't have shoes to wear? What if Chas Shom Shom is an Ovel and he's Oser Ben Ilata Sandal? So what about over there? Do you say the bracha or not? Again, according to the Rama, you're saying it because of the human condition. Why do you say Kol Tzarki? Because this is what allows you to get out in the world and to do whatever it is that you need to do and get whatever it is that you need. Also, I mean, it's considered to be a tremendous bizarre to still be in a position in which you have nothing to stand on, so to speak. When you can, when you click on your belt, Asram Naya, you should say, Baruch Ozer Yisrael Bigvura. When you put on your yarmulke, you should say, Baruch Oter Yisrael Batifara. When you put on your tzitzit, you should say, Baruch Hashem Kedushanu Masavet Tzivanu Tatei Tzitzit. When you put on your tefillin on your arm, you say, Baruch Hashem Kedushanu Masavet Tzivanu Laniach Tefillin. When you put on your tefillin Shorosh, you say, Baruch Hashem Kedushanu Masavet Tzivanu Al Mitzvah Tefillin. You're all aware, of course, of the big machlokas over here between Rashi's approach and the Tosfos over here as to whether this means that you're supposed to say one bracha on the Shal Yad, an additional bracha on the Shal Rosh, or if you spoke between the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh, or are only putting on the Shal Rosh, what is the bracha to say that you have to say the additional bracha of Al Mitzvah Tefillin on the Shal Rosh? The Ashkenazim make an additional bracha of Al Mitzvah Tefillin, or most Ashkenazim, Al Mitzvah Tefillin, and that is like the Rabbeinu Tam, because he says it doesn't make sense. The Chazal were koveya a bracha only if you were a bad boy and you spoke between your Tefillin Shayat and Tefillin Shorosh, then would you be koveya a new bracha? Why are we koveya a bracha for a bad boy? Anyways, therefore it means you always make that bracha. When you wash your hands, then you say, Asher Kedushanu Masavet Tzivanu Al Netilat Yadayim. Now, this is weird, right? Because what it's saying is you say all of these brachas before Netilat Yadayim. How are you allowed to say brachas before Netilat Yadayim? So basically, nowadays, we do not. The way the Aruch HaShulchan puts it is that at the time of the Gemara, people were able to go to sleep and to be careful not to touch any part of their body that would make them chayev in Netilat Yadayim. So because of that, you could make these brachas before Netilat Yadayim, then come to do Netilat Yadayim and say the bracha on Netilat Yadayim. But nowadays, since people generally just throw themselves into bed, sometimes wearing their clothes and not properly preparing for bed, but certainly, as they say in Yiddish, if you go to sleep like a horse, then that's the way that you sleep. So because of that, you act like a horse, and who knows what you're doing over there in the night. So because of that, we cannot assume that our hands are clean in the morning to be able to say brachas. Now, of course, you will ask, well, wait a minute. Anyway, you have to wash negovas. You have to wash six times when we have here ruach ra'ah. Yes, but ruach ra'ah is not makif brachas. Ruach ra'ah is not to touch your nostrils, your ears, your eyes, and so on and so forth, or food. But that has nothing to do with the brachas. So you should be able to say the brachas. Nonetheless, because of all of this, we're koveya all of these brachas instead of at the event. We're koveya in the Beit HaKnesset. Also, because many people aren't bekeim in these brachas, they need somebody else to make the bracha. Because of that, the minhag is that someone stands up, says the brachas, and everybody says amen. So then when you wash your face, then you say the bracha. Baruch ha-ma'avir chevelei she'na me'inaya tenuma me'afapai. Going on to the Yiratzai Mufanach HaShem HaKash Targit Leinu B'Torah Techa V'Dab Kedim Mitzvot Techa V'Alt V'Yenu Lo Lidei Chet V'Lo Lidei Avir Avi Avon V'Lo Lidei Zayon V'Lo Lidei V'Zayon and so on and so forth. And that's all one bracha until you get all the way after V'Chofet Yitzrenu L'Shtapetlach Rachikani B'Yadamra M'Chavera Dabkeni B'Yetzer Tov V'Chaver Tov B'Olam Echa Titnenu Ayom V'Choyim L'Chenu Ches Rachmi B'Nech V'Nei Koro Ay Tigmalenu chasadim tovim, baruch atah Hashem, gomel chasadim tovim lamo Yisrael. That's all one long bracha, the beginning and the end, and therefore should not say amen until you get to the chasadim tovim, lamo Yisrael. When the next thing the Mishnah says is a person has to be mevorech al hatovah, the same way he's mevorech al ra'ah, the same way he's mevorech al hatovah. What does that mean? It means you're supposed to say the same bracha? Ilema, that the same way you say Alatova Baruch Hatova Metiv, you should make a Tova Metiv on something bad, Chas V'Shalom, that happens. The Mishnah said the opposite. The Mishnah said, Absurot Tovot, you say Atova Metiv, and Absurot Tovot, you say Diana Emes. Omar Rav, it means with the same mental attitude. Lo Nitzkar Lo Kablino B'Simcha, if you're making Chas V'Chalila Diana Emes, it means that you view it in the same way of Chashivas and happiness that you would a Besura Tova. I can tell you my father-in-law, when he got the news, one of his grandchildren simply didn't wake up in the morning, and he needed to make a Diana Emes, and he told the person who told him, please wait a moment, went back into his room and put on his long coat and his hat, and then he came out and said Diana Emes, that he should be dressed with the same way he would have made a bracha on Kiddush. Where do we see this? Even though we saw before that b'chol bo odecha means b'chol midah midah shehu moded lecha havi modelo b'mod ma'od, which itself should be enough of a raya, that doesn't say that there should be a bracha b'simcha. That's a completely different thing. That's the way that you accept it. But here we're talking about a bracha. Remember that a bracha means that you're being mosif keach lamala. So when you say Baruch Atah Hashem Diana Emes, you are saying there should be more Diana Emes in the world, not less. So with that, we don't learn out havi modelo maod maod. So where do we see that there's an inyan of actually saying a bracha? Amr v'achem shom rabbi leva ma'ikra. It says, chesed u'mishpat ashir lecha Hashem asamera. Im chesed ashira, im mishpat ashira. And shira means throwing your heart into it, which leads to bracha. Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni omer miyocha, ba'ashem ahalel davar, be'elohim ahalel davar. Those are two different midas. Ba'ashem ahalel davar is a midah teva, which is midah sarachamim. Chesed. Be'elohim is always din. And Zumidat Puranut. And it says, Alel. I need to say Halal on it. And to be Mavarech. Rabbi Tanchum or Meyocha. Kos Yeshuot Asa. Uveshem Hashem Ekra. Tzara V'yagonim Tzah Veshem Hashem Ekra. Veshem Hashem Ekra was always the source that we had for Birzazimun and so on. For saying Amen Hashem Natan. The other, the Rabbanan say it's from Eov. Hashem Natan. Hashem lakach yishem Hashem mevorach, whether it's mevorach is bracha, whether it's on the lakich or whether it's on the netina. Amram Rabbi Meir, and this is the famous mimer from Rabbi Akiva that they quote Rabbi Akiva on. A person should always train himself to say, kol d'ovid rachmona latav ovid, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is always for the best.